Hey, welcome to the Think Bible Podcast. My name is Robbie. I'm the director of Next Generation Ministries here at Good News Gathering. And again, I get to take over the podcast. And so very appreciative of this opportunity. But we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful you take the time wherever life finds you right now. Maybe you're in the gym. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're to work. Whatever you're doing today, that you would take the time to just dive in a little bit deeper and that to learn what it takes to think biblically. And so today we're just praying for that. We're praying that you would gain a little bit more. And so if you're following along with our Bible reading plan, we are in James this week. And you should be able to read the whole book of James. We have it spread out over 2 days, but really, if you take the time, you could read that in one sitting. I know I did in preparation for this. And just to see how an argument develops is just so beneficial for us as readers of God's Word to really learn how to think biblically. But I want to talk to you today about what it means to control our tongues, as James talks about. What does it mean to control our words? Before coming to Good News Gathering, I was the director of a recovery ranch, and on that ranch, we had about 12 horses or so. One of those horses, her name was Missy, and Missy and I got to know each other pretty well. I got to ride her, and I went out riding with another one of our students, one of the men in our programs, and Missy decided that she did not want to just be a trail horse that day. She wanted to be a race horse, and so we hit the trail, and she took off, and as she is galloping almost at a full sprint, I'm just bouncing all around. I'm holding onto those reins as tight as I can. I'm screaming, oh, oh, and trying to pull back to get her to stop. She would not stop. She was following hard after the other horse that was in front of her, and that guy was a much better rider than I was. And as we were going, finally, Missy decided to stop, and where she decided to stop was near some large rock outcroppings, and she stopped so fast that I went flying up over her neck, and I grabbed onto the neck of this horse and flipped myself upside down, and I'm on my back, and I'm staring up at the sky, and all of a sudden, I see a hoof come towards me, and then another one, and in that moment, I realize that I'm about to get trampled, and so I roll very quickly, and I'm back up on my feet. But see, the harder I pulled, the faster she seemed to go until she decided to stop, and so I'm standing there, pretty injured. I have some scuffs on my back. One of her hooves have marked my arms. I have a mild scar from that even to this day. And I'm wondering what happened. This powerful animal threw me, and I wasn't in control, even though I thought I was in control. You see, we all have something that's just as powerful. And we do this with other people when we aren't in control. We throw people sometimes. I know I've done this to others. Maybe you've had this where you've been blindsided, thrown when somebody maybe makes a cutting remark. And like me, you thought you were in control, and then the next thing you knew, you weren't, and their words hurt you. And I think we can do this to others. We let our words fly, and then we can't get them back. And we fire off, well, they got just what they deserve, but we wound up regretting it later. See, our words can be a powerful tool, or they can be a destructive weapon. The problem is we don't always think about which one our words will be. And so we felt the power of our words. We felt the power that they've had on people. We've all had that, oh, that felt good moment. I'm so glad I said that. They got what they deserve. But in the end, it leaves us empty, and our words never seem to quite satisfy. And we've all felt that power and damage that other words, that other people's words have had on us. I'm sure you've been hurt by someone's words. I know I have. Hurt by something someone said, maybe a friend, a boss, a stranger even, or the worst, a family member. And so as we get closer and deeper into this holiday season, as Christmas is approaching, you might be dreading that holiday to get together with family where you know you're going to have to deal with that one person who says whatever they're thinking, and it always ends up making a mess. And so what do we do with that? It seems that we can't insulate ourselves from this at all. I mean, all you have to do is go into any comment section on any webpage on the internet, and you'll find what seems to be the worst humanity has to offer. But see, gossip and insults and hurtful words weren't created with social media, but social media seems to bring out the worst in us. We fire off texts, we get behind a keyboard. I call it keyboard courage, that I would have the courage to say something sitting behind my keyboard or on my phone, but I would never have the courage to say it to somebody's face. And maybe you can relate with that. Our words have power, and we know this. And see, because we can be on cloud nine when someone praises us or encourages us, and then be in the pit of despair when somebody criticizes us. When we let someone have it, it may feel good in the moment, but ultimately it just leaves us empty. And we can't control how other people use their words. But what we can control, you guessed it, is our own words. So what do we do to get control of our words? Well, the good news is we aren't the first people to wonder how to get control of our tongues. And so this is why we're going to be looking at James, because a big part of James is all about controlling our tongues and where this looks at. And so if we start with the tongue, everything flows from that. And so James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he uses some pretty dramatic language to describe our words. I'm going to be in James chapter 3. If you happen to be around a Bible, grab it. If not, no big deal. I'm going to read it for you. It says James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So why shouldn't we be teachers? Well, teachers right now, as I'm doing, use more words. We talk more. We have more to say. And so the more I talk, the more likely I am to put my foot in my mouth. And verse 2, we all stumble. I love that. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Oh, want to be perfect? Well, there you go. Just don't say any bad words. Don't say anything wrong. Don't gossip. Don't sin with your mouth. So we all stumble, verse 2, in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. James is setting up how hopeless this situation is. It starts with the tongue, our words, and then moves outwards. And if you check out the rest of the chapter, and I hope you will and beyond, you're going to see he's encouraging us to submit ourselves before God, and in that, to live holy lives. But really, this starts with our tongue. It starts with our words. You see, our words show where we have been, and they show where we're going. They really, truly reveal who we are. And so Jesus actually talked about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. See, what comes out of our mouth is tied directly to our hearts. Our words flow from what's inside of our hearts. They reveal who we really are. So if our words are reckless, sarcastic, or belittling, they show that we're actually becoming reckless, sarcastic, and belittling people. Despite what we think, that's truly what's inside of us. I mean, this can really be an eye-opener for some of us. Controlling our words is one of the hardest things to do. Who's really in control? And so James talks about putting a bit. It's a small little piece of metal that goes right inside the horse's mouth. It almost acts kind of like a baby's teething ring. And you can pull on the reins left or right and move the horse's head. And as that horse's head moves, then the whole body will move with it. And so the same way with our tongue, that as we speak, it will determine where we go, left or right. Our words will determine our future. The words we choose today will determine our tomorrow. See, the horse that I was riding, Missy, as I was riding her, I was holding the reins, but she was in control. And I think we probably know people like this. We know some people who think they're in control, but man, they say whatever they think. And I, I'm the worst offender right now. I know that there's times I say things and afterwards I go, oh no, right? We have that, oh shoot moment. I shouldn't have said that. Ah. And then we dread, and hopefully in that moment that we get to learn another spiritual act of asking for forgiveness and looking for grace in those moments. Missy was, I thought I was in control, but Missy was truly in control at that moment. I may have been holding the reins, but she was in control. So really, she might have well been holding the reins. I think there's people we know like this, that some people say whatever comes to mind. And they think they're so mature because they say whatever they're thinking. Oh, I'm an open book. Here it is. But in reality, they have no hands on the reins at all. There's nothing. And so James continues in verse 6. He says, the tongue is also a fire. So now he's moving. He went from a horse to a ship and a small rudder. And then how a great fire is set by just a small spark. And that fire that burns, he says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Again, dramatic language here. That our words actually, he'll tell us, stain the whole body. What comes out of our mouth shows what's truly in our heart. We can't hide it because our words will truly show who we are. The entire course of our lives will be set by our words. This is why it's so important about even what we're posting on social media. And we think about now future employers are now looking at social media accounts to see what kind of person you are. Your words, your actions will matter and do matter to determine your future. So what's the answer then? Well, number one, we need to take control consistently. How do we do this? James continues in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Again, dramatic language on this, but it paints this hopeless picture that you cannot do this on your own. And so number one, we need to submit and admit. We need to admit we have a problem and submit it before God. The one who can help us with our tongue, that's Jesus. And you can't do this on your own. Why? Because Jesus is in the business of changing hearts. You want your mouth to be better. You want your word choice to be better. It has to start in the heart. And Jesus is the only one who can truly change the heart. So we need to be consistent about who we are. We can't have a different tongue, different words, depending on where you are. And guys, I know this for me, and I worked on a ranch. I've worked out in the world, as it were. I haven't just always been in a church. And I know there are going to be times you're on the job site and the language that you use there, man, you wouldn't dare use in the church. And I know being a pastor too, man, the whole temperature of a room will change as soon as you tell somebody, oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Let's change the topic. Who are you? What words are you using in that moment? See, if we want to follow Jesus, we have to do Jesus things Jesus way. And this means surrendering to him. Number two, we need to pray daily about it. God, I give it to you. We can't just be one and done. We can't just expect the Holy Spirit then to come and be our editor. He has to be the proofreader on what we're going to say ahead of time. I love how the psalmist put it in Psalm 141:3. He said, set a guard over my mouth. God, put a guard, a blockade over my mouth before I say something stupid. Man, I need that. If you want to be like Jesus, then you have to start living like Jesus. And there wasn't a careless word that he said. Now, this doesn't mean perfection. I don't think we're going to get to perfection. We need Jesus for that. So what this does look like is it means less stumbling over time. Because I can't try harder and fix myself. All I can do is trust Jesus more fully. And so maybe you're struggling with your words from Maybe it's your language from your choice four-letter words of how you talk, depending on where you are. Maybe it's the words you use about yourself. What words do you use to describe yourself when you screw something up? Oh, man, I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot. Right? Those words that you think about yourself, have you bought into the lie that you are not somehow valuable, that God doesn't truly care about you? Are you believing a lie about who you are in this moment? Maybe it's gossip, that you're talking about other people and that you are talking because you're just venting, quote unquote, but really what you're doing is being destructive. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm talking to myself right now too, that I am the worst offender of this. I'm the biggest sinner in the room on this, that I need just as much grace and just as much help. So I'm going to pray daily that I give it to God. I'm going to submit myself to Him. I'm going to admit I need help, and then I'm going to pray daily about it. Again, less stumbling over time. So if you want to follow Jesus, you need to do Jesus things Jesus way. This looks like controlling our tongue, controlling our words. If we want to follow after Jesus, then we need to start living like Jesus. And this is offering love and forgiveness and restoring words to people. And so just, I want to give you some really practical tips, because where the rubber meets the road on this is really going to be in our texting and our social media. Again, the keyboard courage, as I call it, where we would say things and we fire off quick emails, we fire off quick text messages. And then when it comes back around, we can't even deny it because somebody took a screenshot of what we said. It's out there forever. And so let's get really practical here. One of our weakest areas is when it comes to texting, email, and communicating on the internet. Let's just be honest about that. These are some of the biggest obstacles to controlling our tongue, because we just want to fire it off, that we read somebody's words and we think the worst of them and then instantly want to fire something off. So what can we do? All right, so I'm going to give you some really practical tips, four really practical tips. Number one, think before you respond. This is not rocket science. This is thinking before you respond. It can be so easy to fire off quickly, but we need to slow down before we respond. James talks about this earlier in his letter, James chapter 1, verses 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Does that look like you? Because this is written to everyone. Who is everyone? Well, it's not hard. This isn't a trick. This is everyone should do this. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So wait, breathe, and then text or leave the comment. Or guess what? Don't do it at all. If I were in front of them, would I say these words in this way? Let me say that again. If I were in front of them, would I say these words in this way? Another question you can ask yourself is, are these words helping me become the type of person I want to be? Are these words helping me become the type of person I want to be? So think before we respond. Number two, if you can't read it aloud in church, don't text it. If you can't read it aloud in church, don't text it. Well, then some of you would say, well, then I have to shut down my entire social media. Yeah, maybe. All right. What are the things that we are so quick to fire off and we would be so embarrassed if somebody were to actually see that and read that? Number three, don't say through social media what you wouldn't say in person. Again, that question comes to mind. If I were in front of them, would I say these words in this way? And again, I've been referring it to what I call keyboard courage. But really, this isn't about bravery. It's really cowardly. Because you'll have people that say one thing behind your back or on social media, or they'll send it in text. But as soon as you see them, oh, it's like you didn't even have a problem. Be brave. Talk to somebody. Build a relationship. Allow Jesus to work in that relationship. And then number four, don't text angry. Don't text angry. This needs to be ingrained in us to not text angry. You won't be able to take it back once it's out there. And so when you're angry, face-to-face communication is always the best. Always the best when you're upset. Because you can see so much more, see their body language, to talk. It will slow you down than just firing it off, because you will have to deal with the consequences of what you say to somebody and how they respond to you. So where do you find yourself today? Where do you find it hard to hold your tongue? Who do you find it hard to hold your tongue around? Who is holding the reins on your words? As we pray, we're going to ask God to use our mouth for His purposes, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So many of us are so afraid to share the gospel because our words in the negative, we feel will stop us. We fear that people won't listen to us because of the words that we've chosen in the past. You see, the words you choose today will determine your tomorrow. Your words you choose today will determine whether or not you have an opportunity to share the good news with somebody who needs it desperately. Choose words that honor God. And so last time I closed with a blessing from Numbers 6. It says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Until next time, think biblically, think logically, and think honestly.